What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. Week 8's nearly in the books, and we're here to recap it. It's Brian, Mario, and Nick. Fellas, how we doing today?
Guys, I'm doing well. I missed you guys. I was just been listening to the pod while I've been away, and I've been talking, and you guys have not been responding, which makes sense because it's a podcast I'm listening to, and I'm still crazy in the car, but it's good to be back and having my voice here to take.
Yeah, man. Welcome. Congratulations. And nice to have the gruesome threesome back in store here.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in a week that Kyle Pitts finished top 8, so we're definitely going to be diving into that, Mario. You didn't miss out, man.
Yeah, thank goodness. I know, but I really just went in hiding for 2 weeks because I said Haskins over Vidal, and I just was too ashamed to show my face on the pod for 2 weeks.
Well, folks, if you haven't listened before, we go through all of the injuries. We talk booms, busts, waiver wire, and of course, Nick's got to help us out with some trades, going through those buys and sells with those players. But before we do, commissioners, they don't get enough support here. They don't get enough help. And I do have a question for you. It's a home league issue. I am the commissioner of the league. Came across a little problem this past week. So it's a keeper league. So my little brother, one of my little brothers, he's selling out for the league, right? He's playing for next year at this point, starting to sell some players. During the 1 o'clock game, which the Panthers were playing, he sent me a trade, George Pickens for Tet McMillan. Obviously, he wants to keep Tet McMillan as a keeper. George Pickens' value is a little higher, but he wants Tet as a keeper. Awesome. So Tet is actively playing. He's set in my lineup. George Pickens plays at 4. He sends me this trade at 3:30. I hit accept as fast as I possibly could. We were playing each other as well. Yeah. By the time he realized what had happened, George Pickens is now on my team. I get credit for Tet, and he sends me a message 5 minutes before kickoff. Hey, reverse the trade. I'll give you the player afterwards, but I want credit for the points. He's SOL, correct? Like, I didn't do anything wrong by letting it go through.
So you get both players' points in this situation?
So I get credit for Tet because he was already locked in my lineup. He didn't get credit for George because George's game hadn't kicked off. Now, I could have played George Pickens, but I didn't have an open spot. So George Pickens just went on my bench. But he was upset that he didn't get George Pickens because he hadn't been locked into a lineup, which is fair. But you sent the trade before the lineup's locked, so
What platform is this on? Because I'm surprised Sleeper. They would... Sleeper, man. Yeah. I'm such an advocate for Sleeper, but I'm surprised even allow that to happen. Usually, if one of the players has started playing, then my thought is that it wouldn't go through until the next week.
So what would have happened had George Pickens' game started? The trade would have gone through, but the players would have stayed on our teams until this week processed.
Yeah, that's how I would expect that to go.
Same. But I was playing it against him. I beat him by 40 anyway. So even if I gave George Pickens and Tet to him, he still wouldn't have beaten me. So almost a moot point. But as far as clean commissioner play, like, I didn't break any rules. He sent it to me. I accepted it. And it's just one of those, you didn't think that one through.
Yeah, I don't think you did anything wrong, but I'm with Nick that I'm surprised that a trade with an active player would be processed.
If I was him, I'd be writing to Sleeper if I was him, being like, hey, this is a glitch in the system. This is a bug. This should not be a possibility. I've been playing fantasy for like 30 years now, and I've never seen that happen. Many of those years were before it was even on the internet, so some of those years don't count, but like, I don't know. Usually it started... In my opinion, I feel like the system would just overrule it, but I don't know. Maybe I'm going to have to implement this as commissioner of 4 leagues.
I was going to say, because I've had to do this in a dynasty league. Like, all of a sudden, the only quarterback I had left on Monday night, all of a sudden, it was a free thing. He was out. So I had to traded a player that had already played, so he knew he wasn't getting credit for it, but we were both aware. I just ramped this up as, dude, you should be more aware of what you're doing there. You should have waited 15 more minutes to push it through. But
this is a good lesson, too, where I go through to all my trades that I've sent out throughout the week. And before the kickoff, I remove everything. If people haven't responded by that point, then it's done, because this just leaves an opportunity for your guy to get injured and then somebody accepts some nonsense trade. Also, it sucks to be the commissioner trying to deal with those conversations when everybody's complaining about what's fair and what isn't fair. So I just go through and make sure when it's time for kickoff, I remove those trades. That stuff is off the table anymore. So that should be his lesson in this. And for any of you listeners too, probably smart moves to make as well. Don't let Brian take advantage of you.
I just,
Don't accept the trade.
That was the funny thing. He puts in the chat, collusion, collusion, collusion. I'm like, who am I colluding with? You?
Yeah.
You sent the trade, man.
You have to, though. You have to spam it when you're
I like this little conversation, though. We should try to bring some weird things to the table every week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Folks, you have any more commissioner issues, league issues, throw them at us. We'd love to discuss them here.
Yeah, give us the full names. We can talk, you know, we'll crap about them. Yeah, publicly shame them. Absolutely.
Yeah, make sure if you're on Spotify, drop them down there in the bottom of the chats. Let us know thoughts on this one or if you have any of your problems yourself. Speaking of problems, the Giants, man. The Giants are rolling through problems. Let's walk right into this injury. I mean, I say walk. Let's roll through the cart. Let's pull the cart out for this one. This one was bad. Like, Harry Potter in the second one when he lost all the bones in his hand bad. Like, I rewatched it, and I knew. I was like, Brian, don't rewatch it. Don't rewatch it. I rewatched it. Cam Scatabo, though, out for the season, dislocated everything. Thoughts?
His ankle was sideways. That's my thoughts. Yeah. I mean, absolutely brutal. We'll talk about who is the guy to pick up in a little bit, but it was tough to see. You never want to see that. Not for a division rival, not for nobody. Especially a player that's so fun as Scatabu. A human bowling ball. Tough to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Breece Hall went out his first year, and you're like, man, this was really ramping up to be something entertaining and special to watch. But yeah, terrible to see. My first thought was how casual he was about the entire process. And I'm like, this guy, we already knew this guy was tough, but just watching him like brush it off, really, and just kind of be like, no big deal, like see y'all next year, and that was the end of it. But yeah, really impressive start. Feels like it ended, you know, just as quickly as it started here. But sad for fantasy, more sad for him as a human, and want to see him next year come back healthy.
And I'll say too, I like to give Eagles fans a hard time, and you know, they sometimes they get a bad rap. I'll give them that. The standing O they gave him, rivalry game, I can appreciate it. You know, like, nobody likes to root for injuries. And I'm sure the Eagles were a little sigh of relief there after he was gone out of the game. But
after three
overall,
touchdowns the first time they played, yeah.
He was off to a hot start,
too, man. Offense did not look the same without him.
Absolutely not. No. In the same game, we also got to see Saquon Barkley leave there early with a groin injury. Rumor was that, you know, he said that he could come back if they needed him. Game was kind of put away at that point. But going into a bye week, are you guys worried about this injury? Is there something like, give him a week of rest, we'll be good to go?
I kind of agree with what he said, that I expected him to come back if the game wasn't a double-digit, I don't want to call it a blowout, but it was a double-digit lead, so I think they were just being precautionary. And Tank's Bigsby looked incredible, right? Like, so I think it was just precautionary. I think especially with the bye week coming up, we'll get to if we think Bigsby's worth a roster spot or not when we get to the waiver wire. But I'm not worried for Barkley managers out there.
Nice. Quinshon Judkins, we saw him kind of pop up on the injury report. Shoulder injury, day-to-day, what it is. Another guy going into the bye week form. Nick, what's your thoughts on this one?
Day to day with a full week off would lead us to believe that he's going to be okay. The only situation that would make me think that they don't put him out there is because this team is playing for the future. They just got steamrolled by the Patriots, and maybe they're just like, we need this guy for many years to come. And we don't want a Cam Scatabue situation to happen where we're waiting for him till halfway through next year for no reason, just so we're already competing for, you know, the seventh quarterback that we can carry on our roster when we get the top three overall pick next year.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially just after the Scatabu injury as well. I think that'll put something in the back of their minds, like, hey, maybe we just take an extra cautionary.
And they spent two decent draft picks on running backs, too. We saw Dylan Sampson early in the year. Nothing outrageously impressive, but again, it was his first few games as a pro. So if we do see, you know, ramped up snaps for Dylan Sampson, I think that would be good for, I mean, all parties involved, really, except for the Quinshon Judkins manager, probably.
And Ford has been serviceable. So if they decide not to trade him and they just want to ride out the rest of the season like they probably should, then just getting him get some more carries would not be a terrible idea either.
Yeah, I agree. We typically don't usually talk about defense here, but this one is worth talking about. Patrick Surtain is dealing with a bit of an injury as well. Another shoulder. This week they're playing Houston. Nico Collins should be coming back from the concussion. So if he misses, like, this is great news for Nico because he has been a struggle to fit into your lineup. So I just early thoughts on this one.
Like you said, it's going to be great. I mean, we don't usually talk defense, but this is the reigning defensive player of the year. We've definitely mentioned the Surtain effect in the sit starts every single week. So hopefully this helps Nico kind of get back on the right track, but I also may be looking at other pass catchers for the Texans, but we'll save that for Thursday, Friday.
Absolutely. Trey Hendrickson popped up as well with the hip injury. You know, again, it's defense. The Bengals, they don't really have a whole lot to offer, but when your one and only player is going to get knocked out, that's great for the other side.
Yeah, well, they're already bottom three in everything, so it can't even go too much further down. But losing him is by far their best piece. So, again, you just continue targeting them, but that doesn't really change your strategy very much.
Why didn't they trade him? Why haven't they traded him?
Trade Hendrickson. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, go back to your old DC. Teams.
Yeah, we're going to watch the Jets not trade Breece Hall. We're going to see the Saints can just roll Olave out there for no reason. Nobody's going to make any of these moves because they're bad GMs and they're bad teams, and this is what they continue to do.
Yeah, speaking of the Saints, I mean, not an actual injury, but a little ego bruise possibly. Spencer Rattler got benched in the second half. Finally, we get to see Tyler Shuck out there. I hope we get a handle. Like, give him at least a month. Like, let's see. We have to see what this kid has. Like, Spencer Rattler, we know what he is. There is no future outside of a backup quarterback in his career, most likely.
Yeah, I think this is going to be important, especially Kellen Moore, first-year head coach. I definitely think that he's going to have such a long leash, Kellen Moore, when he accepted that job. So it's just about seeing what he has, because just like the Browns, they're kind of in play for a top three pick, especially with the Jets all of a sudden winning a game, getting hot right before their bye. They could be in the contention for the first overall. So see what you got, and then otherwise look to the future.
Maybe that's what they needed to sell Breece. They're like, look, we got to get one win so we don't go winless, 0-17, and then we can trade the pieces. But we can't trade them away until we secure that win.
Yeah, I like
his value is at an all-time high. Like in fantasy, this is when you draw to trade Breece Hall. So I imagine that's what the Jets are doing. They play it like it's Madden anyways. So it's like, hey, we just had a hot game. Let's move this piece.
Yeah, smart. I like seeing the photos from the Jets locker room after the game, looking like they just won the Super Bowl. Like, I've never seen such happy faces in my life. It's like a bunch of children on Christmas morning. But, you know, good for them. That was an entertaining game, we'll say.
Right.
It was a game.
Awesome. Any other injuries we got to talk about?
That's it.
I think that's all we've got. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's get to those booms. Nice. The explosions, the big ones. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Going into the Monday night game, of course, we are recording before the kickoff there. Jordan Love, consensus QB1 right now. He had himself a day in the battle of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, surgical in this game. 134.2 rating, 360 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was just picked them apart the entire time. And we talked about it a bit on the sit start last week. I said that I was very much in on Love this week, higher on Dubs. And he didn't really come to fruition, but Tucker Kraft was just an animal and he was just unstoppable. So this was good. Love is somebody that we also talked about on that is probably in line to have a better second half of the season. Christian Watson looked pretty healthy. He had some pretty good blocks in there as well. So seeing that, making it looking like he's feeling comfortable on that knee. Jaden Reed's going to be coming back. Dontavian Wicks has been out. If this team can get healthy, then all the things line up for Love to kind of make his way back into that QB1 conversation for the second half of the year. And I don't think they just want to ride Josh Jacobs into the ground because they really want to keep him healthy going into the end of the season. We saw some Emmanuel Wilson in the second half of this game as well, who looked pretty good. So I think they're going to want to rely on Love a little bit more. And hopefully this is more the return coming back out party for him.
I hope so. Only his second finish in the top 12 so far this year. This was kind of my hesitancy playing him. Like what we had to work with last week, yeah, I had him ranked in the top 12, but I didn't expect quite this great of a performance. 29 of 37, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. It's a great game. Mm-hmm. Mario, give me a quarterback you were eyeballing this week.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Mayflower, Drake May. I still just can't believe this kid. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns. He's currently quarterback 1 on the season. He has 0.7 more points than Patrick Mahomes, who's also a surprising name to see at the top. But Drake May was someone I was slandering all offseason. I was slandering him early in the season, and he just keeps proving me wrong. So it's just fitting that I have to compliment him here. He did throw a pick, so there you go. But no, it's just, I mean, he may be, when he when he and the Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo, he might have sapped Josh Allen's powers. I know that's like such a dramatic overstatement, but he's just looking like this guy. Like he's rushing as well, 50 rushing yards. And it's the same kind of offense where there's no studs, unless there is. We'll get to that in waivers. But there's just he's just making it work with scraps. It's the Patriot way. It's unbelievable. So credit to the Mayflower.
Yeah, last 2 weeks, 50 yards rushing, 62 yards rushing. That's what he needed to really propel him into this top. You know, he's had QB 3, 7, 8, 2, 17 finish. But, like, this is where we really were, like, eyeballing him and, like, frothing at the mouth coming into the season. It's like, if we can marry his ability to pass the ball while also getting those continual rushing yards, this is how the guy finishes in the top three, and he's well on his way.
Yeah, and as a Patriots fan, this is what I wanted to see because there were a few easy wins there, and he was getting a lot of hype, and I came into the season very high on May. This can only get better. They have the most cap space in the league. The situation should only get better.
Okay, Patriots fan.
I mean, he's QB1, but you know, he said he's doing it to a bunch of scraps. Mario saying maybe there's a stud on the team. We'll talk about it in the waiver wire. Like if there's a stud on the team, we're not talking about him in the waiver wire. So his performances are elite, but I wanted to see it against a good defense, and that was Cleveland. And doing it against the Titans, doing it against some of these other teams was not wildly impressive to me, even though they are still NFL teams. I wanted to see it against a top five, top 10 defense. And that's what we saw here. So,
y'all got 20 years of greatness, and it took how long for you guys to turn around and find probably your next like franchise guy? Like, it's hard for me to want to root for Drake May.
Oh my god,
I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it on this spot. As 31 about, like, other fans of teams, like, come on.
In the same division as the Jets, who have been in like this perpetual rebuild since what, Mark Sanchez? Like, and then you guys just go ahead and do it in a few years. You're like, guys, it's that easy. Just draft a quarterback, and you're good.
Right. Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, man.
You're an Eagles fan over there. You've had two Super Bowls in the last 8 years.
We have, but listen, we had some time.
Act like it's been Kevin Cobb. Philadelphia.
It's been 20 seasons for my boys, so we're hurting. We're ready for another one.
7-1 right now, though.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, Colts, Patriots, top of the AFC. That's what we like to see.
What year? Just like the old days. Just like the old days.
Yeah, bring it back.
All right, moving on.
Daniel Jones and Drake May, baby.
Finally, our QB3 on the week coming out of the Thursday game. Justin Herbert, 227 yards passing, 62 yards rushing. Three passing touchdowns, just the one pick. This was a surprising beatdown. 37-10 win over Minnesota. I thought it was going to be so much closer than this. This was a convincing win that the Chargers kind of needed after their skid from their first three games. So happy to see that. Jalen Hurts also finishes in the top. He finishes at 4. We got Bo Nix at 5. Joe Flacco coming in at 6. It might be a name we're going to be talking about regularly. And then Tua. We trash on this guy quite a bit, so I got to give him a little love here. 4 passing touchdowns, no picks, only 205 yards, but they got it done. Took care of business in Atlanta.
Dead.
What is going on in Atlanta? What is that defense?
Who knows? It's the Katy Perry of all teams. Just they're hot and they're cold.
Yeah, the entire team. We'll get to the busts in a little bit, but that entire team, I don't understand.
Let's talk running backs. I'll take it away here with JT. His 4-3 touchdown game of the season, 153 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, a receiving touchdown. The man is making money for the people that took him at the 1-2 turn in most of their drafts. This guy, consensus, like QB10 through most of the draft process, and he's absolutely destroying it. Jonathan Taylor, MVP. Okay.
Yeah, definitely MVP. I get what you mean, but it's like a stud. I mean, he's going to go back to being the first overall pick in next year's drafts, and then he's going to go back to mildly performing. He's going to get hurt at some point. I hope he doesn't.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I can already see it coming. I already know I'm going to draft him way too high next year, and it's going to bite me. But I love to see it. I love to see him killing it this year.
What other running backs we have?
Go for it.
Okay. I'm just so eager since he first pod back, but this is
a polite podcast.
It is, but no, I just want to talk about the chef himself, James Cook. 2 touchdowns, 216 yards. I can't count how many 200 rushing yard games this guy's had this season. It's just one easy to count, but it feels like it's going to
be. Doing his Rico Dowdle impression on Sunday.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. So truly, I mean, James Cook is another one I kind of felt like dropped a little bit lower in the drafts than expected, and he has proven all those haters wrong. He's the only one in Buffalo besides the quarterback you can really trust, so he looked great doing it.
Yeah, everyone who faded him saying there's touchdown regression, there's no possible way that he can actually do this again. Like he's right there again. And I think once he got the contract, people felt a little bit more confident in it, but still, I mean, why not? Why couldn't he do it again?
Yeah, Ray Davis, nowhere to be seen.
Right. Doesn't even get a touch. Breece Hall, talked about him a little bit. I'm pumped. Yep. Traded for him in Dynasty coming into this week and talked about him as a buy last week. So 18 for 133 and two touchdowns, 14 receiving yards, and of course, a passing touchdown on top of all that. Beautiful catch in the corner there. But, you know, he's playing the Bengals. But this is what we wanted to see. And part of that trade conversation was hopefully he gets traded as well, because any smart team will get rid of a player when they're 1-7 and not just hold on to them and not get anything in return. But we'll see what happens. My hope is that he gets traded to a contender, because you have to assume anyone trading for him and is going to pay them and they're going to be a contender this year. So that's what we're aiming for. But great to see him get his first rushing touchdown of the year and really a 3-touchdown day on top of it.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley finishes in the top four this week. And then we had a nice little duo, Chase Brown. Nice to see you in the top five, man. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We've talked about Chase Brown as a buy for two straight weeks leading up to this, him and T. Higgins. Higgins had a touchdown as well. Both of them have been, even with P. Ryan stepping up, both of them have been on fire since Flacco came in. So really nice to see. Nice reception touchdown as well. Kind of hate the workload that P. Ryan is kind of eating into a little bit, but it really hasn't slowed him down. He still had over 100 yards and two touchdowns in this. Got a goal line touchdown. So that's what we want to see. And this offense is going to be playing from behind forever, and they're going to need points, and he is an explosive playmaker.
We also had R.J. Harvey coming out. Show might finally be here. J.K. Dobbins still involved, but R.J. Harvey walked away with 46 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns, and the receiving touchdown as well. He feasted out there against Dallas.
He did feast. There was an instance I saw where J.K. Dobbins was stopped at the 1 yard line, or at the 2 yard line, then had a 1 yard rush, didn't get in the end zone, and then R.J. Harvey comes in. So for all those Dobbin managers, I feel your pain, because I'm one of those.
Yeah, if you've been listening, then I have a whole Sean Payton rant, but I'll just hold it in, because this is what Sean Payton does against bad defenses. He tries to make his reachy toys look really good, and this is what we saw versus the Bengals. This is what we see versus Dallas. He had seven touches and three touchdowns. So we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah.
Rounding out the rest of the running backs, we had Kamani Vidal, great showing on Thursday, over 100 yards rushing touchdown. And folks, it was National Tight End Week, but it felt like National Running Back Week. Derrick Henry finishes at number 8 with two touchdowns. Javonte Williams in the top 10 with two touchdowns. Tajay Spears finds a way in the end zone. DeAndre Swift scores as well. This was a big scoring game. I mean, Ollie Gordon caught a pass and went in there, as well as Achan. You know, both those guys top 17 plays this week. It was very impressive. Oh, and Tank Bigsby quietly coming off with 100 yards. Who would have thunk it in, you know, quarter and a half play? Maybe we'll talk about that later. Maybe not.
A little teaser.
Let's go to wide receivers. Who were some of the guys jumping out on at you this week?
Dude, this was – so you're talking about running backs there. Really, the negative correlation with that was the wide receivers. So this is the weirdest wide receiver one list I've ever seen, and I want to go through the entire one, because wide receiver one is Troy Franklin. 89 yards and two touchdowns. Wide receiver two was Michael Pittman, with 8 receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown. So wide receiver two on the week had 95 yards and one touchdown. Then we got Waddle at 3. Khalil Shakir at 4 had 88 and a touchdown. And then we're just running down the rest of this list here. Ladd McConkey, Xavier Hutchinson, Roman Wilson, Jamar Chase, of course.
Ooh, I know that one.
Kayshon Boutte, Rome Odunze, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Johnson.
And if you go down two more, you got DK, the rookie, the near.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I believe he was undrafted or seventh
round
pick.
Mac Hollins, Mac Hollins, 15, Jalen Tolbert, 16, Malik Washington, 17, Jaden Higgins, 18. Like, what a strange week this was to be a wide receiver in fantasy, but
Bymageddon.
Yep, Bymageddon, yeah. but still, these are all like wide receiver fours on their own team.
Yeah, it is crazy. And it's not even just Bymageddon. I mean, you had CeeDee Lamb is 22, Justin Jefferson is 24. It's just a really bizarre week. But the tight ends did get some shine. We'll get to them, but it did feel like every tight end was getting a touchdown. Kyle Pitts had a productive day, so you know it was National Tight Ends Day. There's no other excuse, but I think the wide receivers were the ones that suffered. And you covered all 15 of the wide receivers. So
at least, yeah.
Jalen Waddle, I mean, after kind of a bum game last week, how to bounce back. You said the 90 yards, 99 and a touchdown. I hope we get to continue seeing just some sort of excitement out of this Miami offense, whether it just be him and Devon Achane. But yeah, it was nice to see that continue.
Yeah.
Any flowers you're handing out to these wide receivers, Mario?
I mean, like I said, it was already covered so much. I just need to give a shout out to Ja'Marr Chase. We know he's great, but 19 targets is just hilarious. This is
23 last week.
Like, Flacco's just playing Madden the same way I do. Like, it's just like, that's my guy. I don't care what's going on with him. It's like, I'm not looking at the other side of the field. I'm just pressing X on every play. So I appreciate that Flacco and I play football the same way.
54 targets across the last 3 weeks. No wide receiver in NFL history has seen that many targets across three consecutive games. It can't continue. There's no way this continues.
It can and will. Like, right? I said, this is my Madden season. Flacco's just living it, so I love it.
Awesome. And then our tight end day, I mean, Tucker Kraft takes the cake with two touchdowns there at the very top, 143 yards. Dallas Goedert, I mean, he tried his best Tucker Kraft impression, had two touchdowns, just 28 yards.
On three catches, two touchdowns. Again, talking efficiency.
Yeah. He's a vulture.
Aronde Gadsden finishes in the top three here with five catches, 77 yards and a touch. He did that, I believe, in the first quarter. It might have just been the first half, but he didn't get a single catch in the second half.
Yeah, nope. It was all pretty much like first couple drives.
And it's intentional plays built for him. Just like we're kind of seeing with Harold Fan in there in Cleveland. He also finished six catches, 62 and a touchdown. I love the influx of talent we're getting at the tight end position, especially so young and so early. Like, do you remember, we had to wait 5 years for David Njoku to break out. Evan Engram had his rookie year, but we had to wait another 4 years for him to actually break out. Like, this is what we want to see, people. Give me those first couple of years where these guys are doing something.
That's because those guys also were asked to block. And all half of these tight ends that are coming in now, they're just big slot receivers. When they're on the field, it's a passing down. It's very different. It's more fantasy focused than it is actually asking them to play the old school tight end position that George Kittle plays. That is a dying breed, and for fantasy purposes is exciting, but yeah, it's becoming a different position.
100% nice. You guys ready to get to the bus?
Let's go to my fantasy.
Let's do it. Let's flush these turds. I mean, I don't, Caleb Williams, man. What happened?
Two receptions that went down inside the 2 yard line, and Swift got one of them, and then game ended on the second one. But yeah, really unfortunate. Thought the game script would be on his side. Thought Baltimore's secondary would be, you know, I think they're getting a little bit healthier, and like we talked about in the start sit, they might be one of those teams that comes out more motivated than others. And we said this might turn out to be a get right week for them, the Eagles, kind of all of these like stalwart teams that haven't exactly lived up to their expectations so far, but it felt like it was going to be that sort of week, and kind of turned out to be, even with Lamar not in the lineup.
I mean, that was the thing. It just threw off the whole offensive plan for the Bears. You know, no Lamar, so they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, clearly. Rome still performed, but.
So what I'll say is, like, Caleb, I've never been so high on Caleb. He's quarterback 16 of the year. So, like, to me, I don't consider him as much as a bust as this person. Quarterback 20 on the week so far, quarterback 6 on the season, Dak Prescott, Dakota. I know it was a tough matchup at Denver, not an easy place to play, but his first single digit week since all the way back in week one, where it felt like everyone on his team had a case of the dropsies. To me, even in the tough matchup, you start your studs, and it was just like, he has fewer points than Carson Wentz. And we've seen how bad Carson Wentz has been these last 2 weeks. So that was just the absolute biggest shocker to me, was Dak Prescott's week.
I don't know if it really counts to be a dud, but Kirk Cousins finished with 7 points, 173 yards, is he done? Like, I kind of had hope that maybe coming off the Achilles last year, we saw some rust. This was the best matchup he could have gotten to plug in for Michael Penix against Miami.
We did have that late Drake London not available. Like, he popped up on the injury report on Saturday, I think, Friday or Saturday, and then an hour before game time wasn't there. He is by far the best receiver they have. And for whatever reason, there was no rushing game. Like, Bijan was the lock of the week, lock of the century for what Miami has done defensively so far. But, I mean, Bijan is next on our list as RB 40 on the week. 9 for 24 and 23 yards receiving. This is a team averaging about 130 yards per game, or allowing 130 yards per game in Miami. So there was no reason to not expect a Bijan blow-up game. And then Algier had the touchdown at the end of the game too, but it was a blowout by that point. So really sad, disappointing week for Bijan. Really, any Falcon.
Falcon, except Pitts, apparently. But just one other thing about Kirk Cousins. I think this was the 10-year anniversary of You Like That. So I even had more excitement for the Kirk Cousins. Yes, which just really shows how old that is. But, like, that gave me some confidence. It's like Kirk Cousins, he's going to make sure his stock is at a sky high because he wants to play football and he wants to get traded and start. No, he killed his value. He killed everything.
Yeah, you saw the Coles cash falling out of his pocket out there. It just, it wouldn't work.
Oh, my God. And what is it? The super cuts, the sports clips, whatever.
All his partnerships are going to go out the window now.
Oh, goodness. Mattress one, probably.
Bijan just not where it is. Look, these happen. They don't happen often for the guys like this, but they happen, and we got it out of the way. You know, your teams were probably struggling by him again anyway, so let's just knock out the bad week now and
But you want those bad weeks to happen against a good team and have it be like logical, like, and make sense. Right. Exactly. Dak against Denver on the road in, you know, Mile High outside. It's a whole different situation for them. But this one really made no sense. So you got to be sad if you're a Bijan manager.
Yeah. Another running back, just staying on the running back train, Rashard White of Tampa. I mean, and again, a great matchup. It was a road game at the Saints, but you know these two teams always play each other hard. I had a lot of confidence, a lot of stock, really thinking this is the last White week you can get because they're about to go on bye, and then you have to expect Bucky Irving's back and restored. So I really thought he'd go out with a bang, but just another dud of a week. And two back-to-back, he had 6 points at Detroit after having two amazing weeks, 21 at Seattle, 16 hosting San Fran. So I thought we'd see more of that, and just another stinker from White.
It's been fun, but I'm ready for Bucky. Let's bring Bucky back.
Yeah, I think they were up and they're so injured that they were like, we need to just run this clock down. And Rattler was doing nothing and Shuck didn't do much better. So they were just like, get Sean Tucker some play. Nobody needs to catch the ball. Let's just try to run the clock out and get out of here safely.
And they scored a defensive touchdown. They actually scored two if it wasn't for a ref getting a little whistle happy. They should have had two defensive touchdowns in this one. Yeah. Absolutely putting it away. But when stuff like that happens, when you get defensive touchdowns, it usually throws off the game script quite a bit. It's never great for fantasy if you're not owning that defense.
Yeah.
And then Christian McCaffrey. It's about time he made this list. Not rooting for him to be bad, but like at least it's nice to see. He feels human. Really, you know, he feels human. RB 26 on the week, 8 for 25, and 3 catches for 43 yards. I mean, he does the usual thing where he outscores his rushing yards with the receiving, but it's been a long while since Christian McCaffrey's finished this low.
If Jonathan Taylor did this, I don't think you'd be as excited. That's all.
No chance.
That's all.
Facts.
That's my only comment there. Let's get to wide receivers, unless there's any other running backs.
No, it was kind of a meh week for a lot of them outside of the top.
Yeah. This one, we're just talking about the Bucks again. I talked about Rashard White. I mean, the rookie, Ibuka. Again, we kind of touched about what the game script was in that game, but another one. I thought he was going to have a great week. Everybody hurt. He's the only pass catcher available. 9 targets. You love to see 3 catches for 35 yards. Just an overall stinker week for the Bucks all around.
It hasn't been great for him the last 3 weeks. Wide receiver 52, 34, and 69. Once those touchdowns aren't there, he is very, I'm trying to figure out a nice way to, you know, like, not to overreact, but like, yeah, the touchdowns have been worth making his points. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to wonder how healthy he is, because he really didn't miss much time with that hamstring injury. So yeah, I have a feeling still kind of just playing through it because they have nobody else and trying to tough it out. And hopefully it doesn't come back up in the future.
Is he just a Mike Evans merchant where he needs Mike Evans to kind of be the lightning rod for attention? And that's where he shined. But now that all eyes are on him, it's like, hey, it's not as easy.
Well, if he's waiting for that, he's been waiting a long time, because at this point now we're like, you know, looking for Godwin to come back, or the rookie from last year that blew it up for
McMillan.
McMillan.
I'd like to see him come back too. Tough neck injury in preseason.
Neck injury, yeah. You never know how those are going to work.
Back to back here, Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 35, still at 6 targets, 67 yards. Romeo Doubs, I was high coming into the week. Everything kind of projected really well for him, and he had 6 targets as well, but only 44 yards. Chris Olave, 63 yards on 12 targets, wide receiver 30. So not wild busts, any of these guys. They still finished as low-end wide receiver 3s, but you still hope for higher. And
yeah, you do.
12 targets from Olave, you definitely want. You know, you're still riding out Olave every week.
That was going to be my question. I haven't seen official word if it is going to be Tyler Shuck to get the start, but is there any worry? Like, does his floor lower with Tyler Shuck? Is he still going to be an auto start for you? Like, he saw 12 targets, but I believe most of those came from Rattler. So just, I don't know.
I think so. He's still going to be like number 2 in targets for the whole season. So he can't be like just plummeting. There's not really anybody else going on there. So you're probably not starting him as better than your wide receiver 3 anyway, because of where you drafted him. So if you're playing in half PPR or PPR, then I see no reason to be too concerned. I mean, how much worse can the quarterback play be from like 31 to 32 in the rankings? So what difference does it make? You just throw him out there, or you find a trade and you try to go up to somebody a little more secure.
Yeah, next 5 weeks they're at the Rams, at Carolina, bye week, Atlanta, and then at Miami. So there's a couple enticing games in there, but the other ones, sometimes those defense show.
Yeah, I think everything except the Rams you like. But I think the biggest point, like Nick said, is like you drafted him to be your wide receiver 3. So if your wide receiver 3 has the second most targets across the entire league, you're stoked. But if he was my wide receiver 2, or, you know, heaven forbid 1, I'm panicking regardless. But for what he should be for your team, he's okay. But speaking of targets, another wide receiver I want to mention is Keenan Allen is someone I was really disappointed in. Thursday night, at a season low, 5 targets. Just when I thought this offense was figured out, just when I thought Ladd was the garbage guy and that, you know, QJ was, it just seems like it shuffles every single week. So
that's the name I wanted to bring up there. You're bringing up Keenan Allen, but he was not the worst performing wide receiver on that team.
QJ was not a target.
Yeah, that's right. None.
Oh man, the goose egg. But that's, maybe it's just because QJ has done that to me so much last year, Brian. Like, we talked about QJ so much hurting us last year that I'm numb to it. But Keenan Allen, I had hoped for. I had the youthful energy in my eyes, so I was really disappointed in Keenan Allen's game. It was the Ladd show and nobody else. And the tight end and the stupid running back I got wrong. So I'm kind of just mad at the Chargers right now.
I love it personally, because for a month, this has been exactly the direction I've been going, where it's like, it's time to sell QJ. Everything's lining up for Ladd to start turning this thing around. And
offense.
You can go back in all my fantasy footballers articles in the last few weeks, and you can find just rants about this on why it all is all lining up for Ladd to be a buy low, QJ to be a sell high. And it's just kind of continued coming to fruition. We'll see if the offensive line can get a bit healthier, because that was always my biggest argument, is Herbert doesn't really have the time to stand back in the pocket and let these long, big plays develop downfield to QJ. So maybe things will change. Joe Alt was back this week, and that was a big change. That was very helpful, but we still saw 7 rushes and 62 yards and a lot of scrambling from Herbert. So can't be feeling super comfortable back there.
No, yeah, it's definitely Ladd's the buy, QJ's the sell, and then Keenan's just a hold. I think he's going to have these up and down games, but I still think he's going to be involved enough where you're going to show up for you as a flex.
Probably lost a bit from the Gadsden breakout. Like those targets were going to him earlier in the season as well.
Yeah, because Gadsden, I think it's the real deal.
He looks good.
He looks great. Passes the eye test, which that's too much Keenan Allen to admit. I like that, but
Let's tight end. Yeah, the tight ends. Bring them to us.
I got a great tight end. Just speaking about these no targets, this guy did have a target, but Jake Ferguson on National Tight Ends Week. I think he was tight end 5 right now. So it just kind of shows that his 0 barely moved the needle, because before this you had 18, 10, 20, 13. He was the tight end 1. I know that kind of relates to, you know, CeeDee Lamb being hurt, but still, I expected so much out of Jake Ferguson, and to put up a goose egg on tight ends day is devastating.
The amount of broken parlays that Ferguson was a part of, it was heartbreaking to see all those receipts floating through.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I didn't even go that low because I started at, I just wanted to throw this one on for Brian, for Dalton Kincaid at tight end 28. This was a product of game script. Like, James Cook just destroyed them. Andy Dalton had absolutely nothing to offer the Panthers offense there. So they didn't really need to throw the ball. Some big plays, big rushing plays. Shakir had a really nice touchdown. Kincaid just wasn't really needed, and he came into the game a little banged up, so it made sense to kind of game script without really risking him as you try to bring this back into a nice little playoff run for Buffalo.
Yeah, along with that, you know, we've got Hockenson consistently disappointing us, finishing at tight end 22, only 3 points. Mark Andrews saw the touchdown go to the backup, or third string, tight end rather, Kohler.
Third string.
Colson Loveland, I was really excited for him with the Komet being out in this game, but again, the Bears just couldn't get stuff working. Only 3 for 38 for Colson Loveland. 5 targets, though. So,
yeah, he had an 18-yard catch first pass of the game, and things looked like they were wheels up, but nothing really after that, unfortunately.
No. Yeah, Kate Otten, you hope he's going to go out there and help you and perform, just with it just being essentially him and Abuka, but 4 catches, 40 yards. Again, this team didn't have to move the ball that much. That, you know, like you said, they were just trying to get out of this game, but he's just such an unsexy pick. This is why I am willing to just pivot from him, despite him being number 2 target.
Kate Otten, he does this to me every year, and I'm sick of it, but I never learn. So I have nothing to contribute because I never learn. Because every single year when my tight ends are on bye or somebody's hurt, I see he's available.
Like, he's always available.
He's always the number 1 guy at the top of the availability for tight ends. And you're like, why is everyone stupid? Kate Otten's a
stud. He's like that guy at the top of the friends list that will never actually date the girl, but she's like ready to call him because he's just there and will be there in that moment. She's he's safe, he's comfortable, he has a low floor.
And then he like spills, and then
he won't hurt me.
Open, you know, he spills all over him at the date. Like, he's just like, what am I doing here? He's like, why did I text him you up?
Mom drops him off.
Right. Oh God. All right. Let's
Kate, talk. If you're willing to come on the pod, you're always welcome, buddy.
Always welcome.
Yeah. We are big fans.
Let's get to the waiver wire before I say something mean. Let's get to the waiver wire. Let's talk these running backs here. There is none bigger than Tyrone Tracy. Now, folks, I get it. He's still probably owned in your league. I get you may not have access to him, but if you look at the roster percentage, he's out there and he needs to be scooped up ASAP.
He's currently available 42% ESPN, 48% Yahoo. I don't blame people because it definitely was the Scottaboo show and nobody else, but Tracy is definitely, we saw a little bit after Scottaboo left, but it was between Singletary and Tracy. We saw this happen last year. Singletary was a non-factor. Tracy won the job. I expect him to do the same again. He had tripled the targets 3-1. He outrushed him. He outsnapped him 33-8, Tracy to Singletary. So easy, far and away top waiver option. The only thing that scares you is next week they are playing San Fran. A little tough, and they do have the toughest remaining schedule, the Giants. So bad game script probably, but you're just chasing that volume.
100%. All agrees there. Who else? Nick, you got any running backs for us?
Yeah, this one, I'm kind of trusting Brian with this breaking news here because this was right before we came on here, but we'll talk about Bam Knight. He probably was owned before, but sounds like Michael Carter just got released as we were signing on to this podcast. So probably a good sign for Trey Benson. If he is on your waiver wire for any reason, then he immediately becomes the top. I would spend all my fab on him before Tracy for sure. But this definitely escalates Bam Knight, even maybe DeMercado, because it's not a lock that Benson comes back in the next week or two. So it might just be Knight has been dominating the touches anyway, but it looks like he's going to be the guy. We don't really know what the issue is with Michael Carter, but I would expect him to show up somewhere else, get signed somewhere relatively quickly.
He's like, a, I think he's a good Chargers. Philly running back. Yeah. You know, yeah, he's
somebody a decent. Yeah. A little depth.
I could see a couple teams, maybe the Chargers. I know Vidal's looking great, but just as another option with all their injuries they're seeing. But I agree. Like Benson, when I was looking at the numbers, he was rostered about a little over 50%, 53% in ESPN. So absolutely, like nearly half the leagues Benson's available in, which is crazy because he was on IR. You probably had the room to stash, but definitely pick him up. He would be the number one running back if available.
Tajay Spears is what I'm looking at. Yes. Since he's come back from the injury, 3, 4, and 4 targets. This isn't a team that uses the running back a lot in the passing game, or at least to start the year. A lot of that might have been Tony Pollard. You know, they just weren't going to give it as much him. We've also had a coaching change, so we're going to see a little bit different offensive scheme here. 9 carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown. This is not going to be a world beater, but I feel like he has a decent floor just because of the work he's going to get, and he has more juice. Yes. He has arthritis, but he's got so much more juice than Tony Pollard at this point.
Multiple knee injuries, and yeah. But yeah, I love Spears. He is a better pass catcher than Tony Pollard, even though Pollard is pretty good himself. But he should be seeing the field more often because they will never be a favorite ever again. So I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, especially that. And I think people just maybe he was early on the IR, the first 4 games of the season. And then so people might have stashed him. But then when they had the slow ramp up, they might have dropped him. I've seen that happen in a couple leagues I'm in. So he should be available. I also saw some rumors that Tony Pollard might get traded as this team's kind of just in sell whatever assets they can. So that's another reason I like Tajay Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that makes Pollard a, you know, extreme buy low if you want to go in on that risk. Because again, he would only go to a contender. He'd probably be in some sort of timeshare. But, you know, what if he went to the Chargers? What if Hampton was not as healthy as we hoped he would be in the next 3 or 4 weeks? Something like that.
Gross.
Yeah, gross. But just something to keep in mind if you keep an eye on trade rumors. This trade deadline, I believe, is a week from Tuesday. So.
Yeah, we talked about the injuries, potential injuries, I guess, to Saquon Barkley and also Quinshon Judkins. So both those teams going into a bye, but the guys you would look to pick up would be Dylan Sampson, Tank Bigsby. 10-team leagues, I definitely don't think they need to be picked up this week, but those are going to be players that this coming Sunday night, that's who I'm going to pick up. Players that you can pick up that are on a bye week, nobody's looking to grab them, but grabbing them ahead of the waiver wire just to go ahead and secure them, and you don't have to drop a bag on them.
100% agree on both of those. Big thing is it's just the bye weekend, especially with Saquon, where he kind of mentioned he thinks he could have went back in the game. Of course, he's a player, not a doctor, so you can't really take what he says too much to heart. But Tank looked great in his limited time. I think he had 100-plus yards and 11 carries, so against a tough Giants defense.
Yeah. I was going to say, more than a like handcuff stash, Samaje Perine is someone who has been getting more and more playing time, and I hate it because I've been hyping up Chase Brown the last few weeks, but the Bengals do have one of the easiest schedules coming out of the bye, especially. If you look at their schedule on Yahoo, it's like strictly red for the first 10 weeks, and then it's just strictly green for the last 6 or 7. It is like bottom 10 rushing defenses for the last half of the season. So he was a top 10 running back this week. I don't expect that to happen a ton, but he's
top 20
getting,
though, for most of the season, rest of the season.
He's getting 8 to 10 touches a game. He's got a skill set where he's actually a decent pass catcher as well. So he's going to see more immediate playing time than the Bigsby's, Dylan Sampson, and he's not on bye this week. They have their bye next week. So it's definitely worth a stash, probably not in 10 team leagues, but in 12, he should be on your radar.
And then for all those winning teams, if you've got, you know, a winning record somewhere in there, you're looking at just stashes, just guys you should be looking at. Isaiah Davis, you've got Tyler Algier, Amir Abdullah, Ollie Gordon. We're also looking at things like Kenneth Gainwell, Devin Neal, Brian Robinson, Breshard Smith, all players that Kyle Manungai, all players that we picked up may not exactly have plug-and-play usage now, but definitely could as the season goes.
Waiting for an injury, and then all of a sudden their value skyrockets.
Exactly that. Yeah, I'm good for wide receivers. Yeah.
Take us away there, Wizard.
Well, thank you. So number one guy happens to be the number one guy this week would be Troy Franklin. And I kind of talked about why I like Troy Franklin the last time when I was here 2 weeks ago. because Troy Franklin, compared to these other wide receivers who are kind of thriving due to injuries on their team, Troy Franklin just had the easiest window to kind of shine without that. We saw he's getting the targets, he's getting the volume, and he's getting the production with that volume. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Troy Franklin. He's been wide receiver 12 over these last 3 weeks. So just in time for me to take my hiatus and not to gloat about it, but I like that. He's going to his team's facing Houston next week, which is a great matchup. And then overall, like for the rest of the season, the Broncos have the fifth most favorable matchup for wide receivers. So it's just this question, can Bo Nix support two wide receivers? He may not have to if Troy Franklin's the number one. So that's just something to keep in mind. That's my big
Darnell
one.
Mooney, somebody you got to look out for too. We bring him up maybe a little too often here, but Drake London, he's got an injury. There might be something wrong there. And even if not, we see Darnell Mooney go out there and give you wide receiver three numbers. So definitely a player that can still be looked at if you need a plug-and-play option.
Oh, another guy I like, so I'm just on a roll, and because I can pronounce this guy's name, so I'm proud of that. But Chimere Dike is someone I'm pretty excited about. Now, this is the second Titans player we're talking about, which is kind of weird because they're always the defense, the offense we're targeting with defenses. But Chimere Dike, just looking at this offense and their receivers specifically. So we've had 2 weeks of no Calvin Ridley due to a hamstring injury. We'll have to see how healthy he is, but it's a hamstring. You know, those are always tricky. Tyler Lockett's gone. I think he's on the Raiders now. Alec Ayo Manor hasn't found the end zone. I know these are some names. Hasn't seen the end zone since week three. Van Jefferson has more games of 10 or less or 10 or fewer receiving yards than Moore. So who's left for Cam Ward? And so far it's been Chimere. He's the only Titan to have more than five catches and more only Titans pass catcher to have more than five catches in any given week. He's kind of won this job just by existing and outlasting the competition. So I also don't expect Ridley, even if/when he does return from this hamstring injury, I don't think he's going to win that job. I think there's some good chemistry building between Ward and DK. So I'm really excited about him.
Nice. Yeah. Nick, who you got for us?
Well, last name on our list is Booty, but I mean, this is a, a stud wide receiver, as we said in the beginning.
He's the stud. There it is.
Wide
there
receiver
it is.
One. Yeah. So ideally he's not on your waiver wire because what I will say about Booty is he was a fifth or sixth round pick. So statistically those guys don't usually hit, but he is someone who fell in the draft. And the year before he entered the NFL draft, he was projected to be much higher than that. There were conversations of him for a while of being in the day one, day two range, and he fell for a number of reasons. So it's not crazy to see him reach this. There was just some personality concerns and stuff like that. So super encouraging. Him and DeMario Douglas, just like back-to-back sixth round picks and putting up some decent numbers and, more importantly, like real life performances for the Patriots.
Yeah, this is another LSU Tiger. This guy, they drop out some pretty good wide receivers. Them and Ohio State have been just wide receiver just,
they're going to take shots on guys. Yeah.
And just kind of, I mentioned my small 3 week sample size earlier for Troy Franklin. But between weeks 6 through 8, Booty is wide receiver 2. He's only behind the Madden, Flacco, Fed, Jamar Chase for points in those 3 weeks. So Booty's definitely on the up and up. I really am a believer in the Booty.
This podcast, this whole podcast is.
Who would love a good Booty running out there?
That's my wide receivers.
Rocking awesome. Everywhere.
All right. Let's go to quarterback here. I mean, we've brought up his name several times, but we're at that point where Joe Flacco is a pretty good plug-and-play quarterback. He's got a great fantasy defense, and by that I mean they have a horrible defense. Can't beat it.
No, I was going to mention this in the P. Ryan part, but this offense, we've seen how bad the Bengals defense is. So it's like they're just going to score points. They're going to give up 30 points, and their only way they're going to win games is by putting up 40. So I really like Flacco.
Yeah, same thing for 2 years. Terrible defense. A lot of studs on offense. That's what you want for fantasy.
Madden team.
Whatever piece you can get is beneficial.
Yeah. Steelers play the Colts. I mean, they've been a pretty decent matchup for quarterbacks and wide receivers, so Aaron Rodgers might be somebody you have to look to this week. Jackson Dart, those roster numbers keep going up. he keeps losing pieces, but like the Magic's there, man.
Yeah, he still finished his QB 12, so he keeps putting me in my place for sure. He's doing it against twice against the Eagles and once against Denver. So
he'll be outside of the top 12. Patrick Mahomes will have a top 12 finish. I say that, and you guys are listening to the show and like, oh my god, what are you talking about? Patrick Mahomes crapped the bed against the Commanders.
Oh my god.
JJ McCarthy as well. Just want to throw his name out there. He's going to be, we believe, coming back next week. So
Carson Wentz hit IR too. So if that's not a sign.
Oh, then definitely. So yeah, you should be able to get him. People are definitely not in, and I completely understand, but he does have a good rushing floor. You know, we're one half a season away from believing that Kevin O'Connell can put a mailbox in at quarterback and put out a top six QB performance week after week. So, continue with the statistics. Don't just fade because we have a few bad games. You know, we have plenty of performances and players who we see come back after a few bad games, and this could certainly happen. He's only 22. I'm sure most of us listening to this are older than that and can remember ourselves as 22 years old, and we weren't doing what he's doing with the amount of pressure. So let's give him a little bit of time. But he's probably still on a lot of waiver wires.
Yeah, I was very dumb at 22. I was very dumb at 23 too. So you know, like it takes a few years to come out of that.
We're very, very mature now.
But 24,
right? any other quarterbacks you'll have? It's not exactly the best stream. I mean, everybody's coming back from the bye week. As far as teams on the bye, we've got the Browns, Jets, Eagles, and Bucks. So, I mean, what are we really losing out on as far as starting quarterbacks? Jalen and Baker. That's it.
It's half of the teams.
Gabriel.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
Justin Fields, remember him?
I was going to say, where did Fields end up this week? He was 11.
Let's give
11.
Him his flowers.
He's 11
QB
right
11.
Now.
He was QB 11, the best quarterback in New York, not counting Buffalo.
and Dart.
Well, he was better than Dart. I see 20.9.
Better on the week, but I wouldn't say better quarterback, though.
No, I mean, we're talking better. About this is the week recap. This is the week 8 recap. So, yes.
Yeah, I got you, true. Mario.
Thank you, Nick.
Tight ends?
Yeah, tight ends.
Gadsden, I know he's probably heavily owned. You probably can't get him, but you need to go check out there. Make sure that you have access to him. I don't know, Harold Fannin, I still think you can look at if he's out there. I know people are kind of wavering on him, dropping him some weeks. Juwan Johnson, if you're getting really nasty, but folks, it's gross. This is hate's a strong word, but I use it a lot. I hate writing the tight end streaming article at this point of the season to the end, because I've said all the good guys. Like, if you don't have a good tight end by now, you didn't pick him up, you didn't listen soon enough. I'm like struggling to find streamers.
I'm going to throw out Loveland again. If Kmet doesn't play, then they play the Bengals. So, again, another get-right spot. So, I'd be pretty okay with playing Loveland in that spot if you really needed it. You know,
Isaiah Likely, A.J. Barner.
I'd probably play Loveland above Likely at this point. But I am a huge Likely guy. But, yeah.
At Miami, doesn't scare you.
Hunter Long for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You guys want to go that deep?
No.
No. No. No.
I'm pulling the plug. Leagues.
I'm pulling the plug.
Nice. Defenses, who are we looking at this week? Mario, feed them to us. What do we have?
Oh, my goodness. So, defenses. I got a couple. We always target the team facing the Titans. So, this week's that's the Chargers. So, we like to see that. The Rams face the Saints. So, we're possibly getting a quarterback in his first start. You love to see that.
He is like 28.
Still first start. So I'm fairly certain first start. I mean, everybody remembers the volunteer firefighter that the Eagles drafted him, but he was a guard, not a quarterback. I'm getting lost in it. Last one I'll say is that the Bears play the Bengals. We love the Bengals offense. They're going to put up 30, but we've kind of seen they're turnover prone when they just kind of sling it like that. I think they're prone to some turnovers. So they're my third favorite. And all of these should be available in 50% or more. Made sure to focus on that.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out the Jacksonville Jaguars. A pretty hot start to the season up until the last 3 weeks before their bye week. But they've caused turnovers, and that's kind of what you look for. It's just like streaming tight ends. You look for touchdowns. You look for heavy turnover teams when streaming defenses. And they're coming off a bye. They got a matchup against Vegas. Geno has not been Geno. He's been Geno of the Jets this year. And that's a quarterback I want to
It might even be Kenny Pickett. We don't know.
That would be crazy.
I forget he's there. I think you told me this last week. Yeah, too, we did. I still completely forget.
I think it'll be Geno, but there's a chance that it's Kenny Pickett.
Oh, man. Either way, give me the Jags. They've got some playmakers on that side.
They got Tyler Lockett now, the Raiders. So I think changes everything.
Everything's different.
Yeah, they're making room to get rid of Jacoby Myers.
Bowers and Jacoby Myers should be back this week, and that changes your offense when your two best receivers are on the field.
This is true. And if they take those targets away from Ashton Jeanty, I will riot. I will be in the street screaming.
Oh, my God. And again, like the coach, Pete Carroll, loves Tyler Lockett. I know Tyler Lockett's not the guy he used to be, but Pete Carroll loves him. We saw this with Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard, so could be the same thing.
Grody. Before we get out of here, lightning round style, Nick, hand us some of those buys you're looking at, some of those sells you're looking at.
Yeah, we really got to go lightning round here. So I'm going to throw out a name that we've said for weeks now, Chase Brown. Again, schedule's just there. He's going to be on the field a lot. They're going to need to score points. He's an electric playmaker. Jaylen Warren also got a pretty incredible schedule down the stretch. He's getting a lot of touches. He's going to be on the field regardless of game script. Aaron Rodgers clearly trusts him. There was a moment in time where we thought Caleb Johnson might be seeing some playing time. That time has passed once again. It is strictly Jaylen Warren. Even Kenneth Gainwell is not really eating into his touches. This is probably your last chance to buy Bucky Irving, who's on a bye week right now. And if you've got a team that needs a win and is near the bottom of the league and they have Bucky Irving and you can give him a player this week who's somewhat of your depth, then I think that is like a championship caliber move. And we talked about Trey Benson. I think the Michael Carter news that we got right before this tells us that he's probably going to come back sooner than later. Teams don't usually just release running backs without feeling confident in the health of their other running backs. Any counterpoints real quick before I go to receivers?
No, I like them all. I think the way you go about Bucky and Benson, not every league you're going to be able to get that done, but exactly how Nick laid it out, I like that.
Yeah, yep. And you know, all this stuff is situational. It's got to make sense for the other team. We've talked about that before. Don't just go throwing out trades that make absolutely no sense for the other team, because that's just wasting your time and theirs. So wide receivers, I'm going to say the Vikings wide receivers. Jefferson is obviously going to cost a lot more than Addison, but there is a chance that people are a little disappointed with him. We have to think that McCarthy can only somewhat improve the situation, but he's still seen double-digit targets the last few weeks. He's still Justin Jefferson. Both of those guys have still been performing, just maybe not to the exact – the whole offense is kind of underwhelmed to what our expectations are, and that's more what this is about. But they've got the Lions, Ravens, and Bears coming up. All teams that can be passed on. That's a good schedule. That I'm just totally in on any Vikings receiver you can get. Garrett Wilson, Jets on bye. He should be back next week. You can get a wide receiver one at maybe a wide receiver two cost. Another situation where if somebody needs a win and you can sell them somebody who's just coming off something hot, can you package Troy Franklin and another guy and throw it out? Somebody Troy who needs Franklin. A win.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and then I'll go. That'll take me to Cortland Sutton, who, you know, we think is the wide receiver one on this team. He had 3 touchdowns in the first 4 weeks, 0 in the last 4, and that has all kind of just fallen into Troy Franklin's lap. Literally last week, fallen into his lap.
He's the guy.
Maybe.
I might wait till after this next week. They play Houston this week. He's probably gonna have another dud game. Then he's definitely be for sale after week 9.
Good. Sutton, you mean?
Yeah, Sutton. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it just feels like the touchdowns, even if they even out between the two, you know, 3 touchdowns to Sutton in the first 4, 3 touchdowns to Franklin in the last 2. That's just fallen one way or the other. And we know one of Franklin's was just a pop up into the back of the end zone that he happened to be standing in the right place, right time. So I still think Sutton is the number one receiver on the team. And Franklin has done it mostly against questionable at best defenses for the last few weeks too. But yeah, anything on those? Anyone you want to add?
I like it.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time here. We don't want to get in trouble with the bosses.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I like Franklin Morton's button.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sells, you got over here. You got RJ Harvey, Kamani Vidal, Brees.
Yeah, so I still like Harvey. I'm not just selling him for no reason, but there was nothing about this snap share that really screamed he's taking over this backfield at all. He was still out-touched 17-8. And for weeks, we've just said Sean Payton likes to feature his guys in these spots. And that's kind of what happened here. He did have a 40-yard, really nice touchdown rush, but then he got a goal line carry in replacement of J.K. Dobbins, and then he got a design screen when the game was out of hand because Sean Payton refuses to run the ball, even if they're up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and they just need to run out the clock. He's still designing pass plays so Bo Nix can get fantasy points and everyone can praise him as if he's some genius. But that's
Harvey's one of those situations. I think we could see him get more involved like we do see most rookies.
And he will.
But he's going to be a volatile flex play because I don't see J.K. Dobbins going anywhere. This is how Payton operates his backfield. So, yeah, if you can sell high on him, I like it. But I don't think it's necessarily something you have to move on from.
No, I'm only if I can tier up to somebody who's going to be safer, more consistent. I just, 7 touches and 3 touchdowns does not scream I've taken over this backfield. Yeah,
for sure.
Vidal is more a future one because they play the Titans this week and he's had 2 RB1 performances in the last 3 weeks. So I would probably wait, but this is just more on your radar. But it's kind of waiting to see what the Hampton news is. Is there anything that you can do here?
That's kind of what I want to hold on right now. Hampton might be more injured. Like, it seems like he's more injured than we want him to be. So, like, what you'd actually get in return, I don't know how high that price would be unless you're selling it to the Hampton manager. So this one, I think I'm kind of just a hold for me.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying too. At least wait through this week because this does project to be another really good week for him, and we should have a little bit more news as to what is coming in. So let him go against the Titans. They're going to be like 9.5-point favorites going into this week, if not higher. And then I was curious your guys' thoughts on Breece because we've talked about him a bit on both sides here, but he's got a bye and then the Browns and the Patriots the next 3 weeks. But he's got a good playoff schedule. He's got the Dolphins in week 14, or I guess it's leading into the playoffs, but Dolphins week 14, then the Jaguars and Saints. So that's 15 to 16. And then I forget who it was. I think it's like the Browns in week 17, which is not ideal, but kind of a bad schedule upcoming and then a pretty nice schedule to end the season.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. I like buying guys that have good playoff schedules, especially like maybe I just get too greedy and I put the cart before the horse, but anyone that has a good playoff schedule, I'm kind of circling, especially at this point in the season. If you're a team that's a little over 500, if you're too close to the bubble, don't make this move. But if you're kind of in that 3-4 spot and you feel comfortable with the rest of your squad, I like this move. But you are going to take the hit because, again, like you said, bye this week, tough matchup the week coming out of the bye. So a little risky. The only downside is if we're playing off playoff schedule, then he gets traded. Hopefully he gets traded to a better team because, let's be honest, the Jets still. And this is his first touchdown of the season. So I like Breece as a player, but his fantasy production this year hasn't been setting the world on fire.
For sure. The wide receivers you've got here, Troy Franklin, Khalil Shakir. I'm not even going to read the last one. It's just insulting. Why would you get rid of Waddle?
These guys are all just guys who are top five this week. And
I love Troy
Franklin. Not consistently.
I think he's a real deal.
Yeah, and he could be. I think it's just going to be more volatile because that's what this offense has been for several years now. And he'll just disappear next week, and we shouldn't be surprised about that at all. And maybe not next week, but he's definitely number two with snap share. He's on the field the most. He's not disappearing, but we've never seen it more consistent than just the past 2 weeks. And even earlier this year, he blew up. I think it was against the Bengals, and it was like 8 design plays for him. And then he was gone next week, and it was like Marvin Mims was the guy. So
true.
I kind of see it. There wasn't a lot of great cell receivers in my mind, but Goddard. So moving to tight ends, Goddard, there was no AJ Brown this week. I don't even know what he is on the season, but he's probably top three. He's just riding touchdown heavy. And I don't know. I don't blame you for holding, but it just seems like he's having the best season of his career. He's like 30, tight end five. He's
tight
like
end five of the season.
What, third in his early 30s. He's
7 touchdowns.
My issue with this is I think it's beautifully set up. I think you should get rid of him because, like, yeah, he is the fourth best receiving option on that team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the OC's a moron. I think the head coach is a moron. They keep doing what they shouldn't do and featuring him by the goal line. So it's work. Just kind of like Dalton Kincaid. I think both those guys are sells because it's one of those, the numbers don't match up with the production. But at the same time, if you don't knock it, it's, if it works, it works sometimes. And that's just how fantasy football works. So, like, it's hard for me to tell people to sell because I might even have a little bit of a bias here and then be stuck in a situation. The other one you have here, Gadsden, I do like that as a sell. I have him everywhere right now. But I'm starting to sell a few of these pieces just because of the... We've got three wide receivers we're trying to figure out who to start. Now you add in a running back who can catch a little bit and him. It's one of those things where someone's always going to... Someone, maybe two guys of the pass catchers are going to be sitting there holding nothing. And that's just how it's going to be. So there's a lot of hotness, a lot of hype. I literally flipped him for George Kittle in a redraft league. Somebody sent me that in the moments after that Chargers game sent, and I couldn't hit accept fast enough. You know, so
I like
there's certain trades that will make sense, and others, like, write it out. Write it out. He might finish as tight end, top three tight end rest of season. You never know. So I'm willing to bet on the talent.
None of these are sell, just a sell. It's if it makes sense for everybody. But Gadsden, I did put on there because I wanted you to talk about that Kittle trade, because that just shows
that's
people
crazy.
Were drafting Kittle, you know, 2-3 turn, and Gadsden was someone who just got picked up off the waiver wire. So if you can that's flip crazy. That and take your chance, you know, maybe Kittle doesn't finish in the same spot rest of season as Gadsden, but I would put my money on the guy who's been top three for the past 5 years over the guy who really just stepped onto the field 2 weeks ago.
I essentially bought Kittle for 15 fab.
When you break it down, that's what happened there. And if you lose those trades, then like you got to be able to live with yourself. But those are the sort of trades that win you championships at the same time.
Absolutely. And that's what we try to do for you here, folks, on the QB List podcast. If you're looking for more, make sure you're hitting the website, checking out all of the Start Sit articles that our lead analyst Jay's doing. We've got multiple episodes, whether it's with this crew or the other one, on all the podcasts. Mario, where are the people finding if they're looking for you?
Mike, it's great to be back. Find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. You'll find me doing the waiver article as well, which drops around the same time as this. So be sure to check out my words written form. Also find me back on the Friday pods. Let's get started with Brian.
Absolutely, folks. Keep it there. Keep checking it out. Again, QBList.com. Come see all of the fun there. It's at @too_much_Brian. He's at Mario Adamo Jr. And he's at somewhere, but you got to go find him elsewhere. He's Nick. See y'all later. Thanks for listening.
Okay.